Hello once again, and welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it has been some month in the computer world. A while back, we had Heartbleed, which set everyone's hearts a-twitter. Then, we had an urgent message from Homeland Security saying, don't use Internet Explorer. There is a huge security exploit. Use something else, Chrome, Firefox, whatever. And so, you know, those of us at home who use computers and do things like banking and do things like buying stuff, it's a tense time to do that. And we're very lucky today. We have Tony Yang with us who can answer those questions, perhaps, and all your computer-related questions. Tony Yang started Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby in college, quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony has been managing networks for numerous companies and organizations, including this one, ranging from a few computers to many hundreds. Tony, always nice to have you on the show.
Good to be back, Ray. Thank you.
The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You could comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. There will be a Vox Pop wall post there. You could tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. But by all means, give us a ring if you like, 1-800-348-2551. Well, where to begin? Let's start. Let's go back. Let's talk Heartbleed for a minute.
Okay.
That, you know, we know it's serious when Tony and his crew send an all-points bulletin to the staff and say, you know what? This is serious.
That's right. We don't do that often.
No.
So Heartbleed was announced on April 7th.
Yep.
On the same day, they announced a fix for that.
Right.
So they knew prior to that,
right,
there was a problem, but they didn't want to announce that to the world and have all these hackers trying to hack into all these systems in the world. So the problem is so bad that it affects up to about 60% of all the websites in the world. Just think about that.
Yeah.
Any website that you touch, you got more than 50% chance that it's compromised. So fortunately, they came up with the fix, and many of these larger companies out there have already put the patches in place.
Right.
We don't know exactly when the process started, but by the time that the bug was reported to the public, most of the sites have been patched.
So the ethics of this are interesting because they knew about it, and presumably security experts knew about it in advance while they worked on it. I guess they do the right thing by not telling the public because then they're also telling the bad guys, but is there a right to know on the public's part if you're going to an online commerce site or a bank or whatever?
Right, and that's a very, very good point. As a consumer, I want to know as early as I can about all these potential problems. But on the other hand, you worry about all these guys out there who are trying to hack every place that they can get into. And if you make an announcement like that, that could create a huge chaos.
I think, to be honest with you, not to be overly cynical, I think the concern was it would kill all internet commerce, at least for
would.
A time.
Yes.
Because I wouldn't have, had I known, I would not have logged on anywhere and done anything.
That's right. And I think that's a huge part of the fear, the economic effects on this and all the other stuff. So it's been an interesting month.
Yeah. And then, was it last week? It's, you know, time gets compressed when all these things happen in rapid succession. But was it last week the Internet Explorer hole was found?
Yeah,
or was it the week before?
If I remember this correctly, my dates correctly, I think on April 28th was when an announcement was made.
All right, now what happened there?
So starting from Internet Explorer version 6, mm-hmm. which is, I mean, this goes back probably Windows 98,
okay.
Windows XP days,
yeah,
all the way to version 11, which is the latest one,
mm-hmm.
every one of them had a bug in there that allows hackers who knew this bug existed to take complete control of your computer without you knowing it and watch everything that you do on your computer. And that's
right.
How serious that is. It
yeah.
is so serious that 2 days after the announcement, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security published an article to advise everybody not to use Internet Explorer
yeah.
until further notice.
Right. So how long did it go on?
It went on for 3 days. Now, for a company like Microsoft to take 3 days to fix a bug in the software, that's a huge amount of time. They got thousands of engineers working on this.
Yeah, but this exploit is years old. right?
It is.
Well, good heavens.
It's been there for, we don't know exactly how long it's been there, but going back to IE6, it's been there for many, many, many years. So
who has the information? Who has everyone's information?
We don't know. I mean, but it is very, very serious. So I have two things that I want any listeners to this show to do for themselves. One is you will want to change your password for all the online sites that you've been to, including your bank accounts, Facebook accounts, you name it, any account that you use a user ID and a password, I will recommend you change that.
Okay.
Number two, make sure that you update to the latest security patches that Microsoft offers on their site. So you can simply do that by going into the Windows Update menu on your computer and just download all the updates that are available.
This is amazing. And you knew it was serious, number one, when Homeland Security got involved. And number two, Microsoft, who had previously said, okay, we're done in April updating XP, said, oh, here's your update for XP.
That's right. We knew
it was serious.
Yes. I mean, this is what they understand is that 25% or more of the computers in the world, especially on the corporate sector, are still running Windows XP.
Yeah. It's a great operating system.
It's a great operating system. It's stable. It's been out there for a long, long time. Many software out there still runs on XP, but not necessarily on Windows 7. So they have millions and millions of users out there, and I think that there would have been absolute outrage if they didn't release a patch for that. So even though they announced the end of life for XP, they released a patch for it anyways.
Those of us who are a little behind the times, we're quite relieved about that. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Tony Yang is our guest. Now, we're talking large-scale, horrifying computer issues here, but if you have a question about a landline or running your Wi-Fi, Tony also knows that stuff too. Let's go to the phones and Myrna in Poughkeepsie. Myrna.
Hi.
I
need some information, and I can't seem to figure it out. Two wireless apps, maybe you know what they are, Jiwire and NetStumbler.
NetStumbler, that's a great name.
Yeah.
Was that a web browser after a couple of drinks?
Yeah, right.
I'm sorry, your question was what?
Are these things useful? Are they dangerous? They're supposed to help you to get wireless when you're out somewhere. I don't really get it.
I see. Okay.
So Jiwire and NetStumbler.
There are actually a bunch of other softwares out there, and their generic name is a Wi-Fi finder. So you can install that on your laptop or on other devices, and it will show all the open security Wi-Fi connections or hotspots in the area. They're not unsafe to use. I don't know about all the legalities involved with that because I think it is, again, some type of a regulation out there to actually scan
Your Windows will scan for open.
Your Windows will scan, but these devices do a little more than that. So now I use it myself. I don't use the two softwares that you just named, but I do use one on my laptop, and it's been good. I haven't gotten any trouble at all using it, so I think you're okay to use that. Just make sure you don't use that to try to hack into a network that you're not supposed
to. I'm not dealing with hacking.
Good. Well, thank you.
Well, can you tell me what they are? What the one is that you use?
The software that I use is actually called Wi-Fi Finder. That is the name on it.
But is it good in other countries?
It is. Wi-Fi is a universal standard, so you'll be able to use that any place you want.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. You know, that you bring up a point, one that I often wonder about, and every now and then you hear sort of apocryphal stories of people who have gone to a rest area or whatever and logged into the free Wi-Fi, and then they find that they have been compromised in some way. Is it extraordinarily dangerous to go to these free Wi-Fis in hotels or wherever else and log in?
Yeah, and I've actually experienced that myself. if you're at a public area, such as Starbucks, let's say, or Dunkin' Donuts, they offer free Wi-Fi access, and it's obvious that it's theirs.
Yep.
I will recommend not clicking on anything that you are unfamiliar with because you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
It could easily be another computer that's infected that's trying to infect other computers.
Yeah.
So you could be hopping on onto a network that's dangerous.
What about if you're at, say, now I was at, wife and I were with the family at a resort in Connecticut, and we were on the free Wi-Fi, and I thought about it later. I said, well, it was the hotel, it was Foxwoods Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
It was free. And the question is, who else is watching what I'm doing there?
Typically, the way that these enterprise-level Wi-Fi systems are set up is you could have thousands of subscribers or users on it, but these users will not be able to see each other.
Right.
And that's just a piece of security that's built into these Wi-Fi access points. So you're safe as far as not having to worry about other users being able to get onto your computer.
Yeah.
But what, for example, what Foxwoods can see on their computer, that's hard to tell.
Okay. Well, the kids were playing games. I know
that's
that.
That's right. I mean, they probably have a proxy server that monitors what the contents are coming in. I don't think they look that.
Unless there's a red flag of some kind.
Yeah, it's got to be something pretty serious.
Okay. Hey, let's take a break here. Tony Yang is our guest. 1-800-348-2551. We talk computers. More coming up.
Support for WAMC comes from Paradise Copies, Northampton, Massachusetts, providing printing design for customers for over 20 years, from digital to offset, color copies, scans, logos, and more. ParadiseCopies.com. Foresight Land Services, for over 45 years, offering civil engineering, land surveying, planning, and environmental permitting to private and municipal clients in the Berkshires and Eastern New York. ForesightLand.com. Barry Price Architecture, since 1996, specializing in buildings that integrate modernism and sustainability with regional materials and aesthetics, BarryPriceArchitecture.com. And Woodstock School of Art, offering classes and workshops year-round in climate-controlled studios, no experience necessary, summer art adventure for kids 7 to 12 during July and August, WoodstockSchoolOfArt.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop, our call-in program. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. Tony Yang is our guest. We talk computers today. Let's go to Bill in Beacon. Bill!
Hey, Ray. It's always good to hear you.
Nice to have you.
I have a network question and one other question, if you have time. I bought a computer a couple of years ago, and Windows 7, and I already had an XP unit, and I tried to set up a network on them. You know, I don't know anything about networking. And I just gave up. It kind of didn't work right. And I'm just wondering if there's a way to how you would go about resetting everything to the original, you know, install state.
Hey, Bill. Windows 7, there are several versions of Windows 7. Do you know if you got a home edition or is it the
Yeah, Windows it's a 7? Home.
It's a home edition. Okay. So the way that Microsoft sells the software is they always have several different versions. One is designed for home use, and there's the corporate edition, and then there's the enterprise edition.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the home edition, you're limited to certain things when it comes to networking. It only allows you to do very, very basic networking. You
right,
won't be able
that's all
to,
I need, really.
So what you can set up is there is a function called the home network. There's actually a specific thing that Microsoft created. It's the home networking portion of their software, and that allows you to do easy network setup on your computer. Well, you don't have to be a network professional like myself to get it set up.
Right, but given my skills, I did try to set up a home network and still screwed it up. I just want
to
know how to get back
to the club,
how to get
brother.
Back to the
Welcome.
To the beginning so I can try again.
Okay. So the thing to do is you can look at a couple of things. One, go back and see if there's a restore point that you created at some point. Most of these laptops will have an original restore point that you can go back to. So that's one way of going at it. The other thing you can do is go into your networking setup and just remove all the existing protocols on there and reinstall it. So that's a little more involved.
Okay.
But look at the restore point. I think that might be your best way to attack this.
Okay. The other quick question was if you would have a suggestion for a Linux distribution for someone who wants to migrate from XP but isn't too thrilled with Windows 7 or 8.
A Linux distribution. Well, you certainly will want to get a GUI, something with a GUI interface.
I'm sorry, a what now?
A graphical user interface.
I see.
You try to do that on command line interface. Now, I've worked on it since college, and I still don't know about that. Maybe work.
No, yeah.
There's just so much to it. So, the X Windows is the GUI interface. GUI interface for Linux. If you, I like Red Hat. Red Hat is a great distribution.
Mm-hmm.
They have consumer versions of that where you can download and it just packs the entire setup for you. So when you pop the CD in or DVD in, it will install Linux plus all the GUI in there, the browsers, even some of the printer setups. So that would be what I would recommend you go get.
Great. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks very much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Okay. 1-800-348-2551 is our number. Emily in Plainsville, Mass. You're on.
It's Plainfield, yeah. It's
Emily. Plainfield. All right. Sorry about that.
Hello, Ray. Hello. Oh, I forgot your guest name.
Tony.
Tony.
Hi, Tony. So I just happened to call you because today I put a new printer cartridge in my HP DeskJet 940C. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I tried to print a flyer someone emailed me, and it just sort of quit four-fifths of the way through it. And today I went to print, and it thought it was printing, but there was no ink on the page. So I had a new cartridge. I figured I was confused because I have three lights on this thing. One blinks when the ink is low, one blinks when there's a paper jam, and one is kind of the on-off button, and it's green, and it blinks when it's accepting a job.
Mm.
So it never had told me low ink, but I said, well, let me try. So I put the new cartridge in. And when I tried to print, I got a message that said, there's a new printer cartridge. You need to open the HP toolbox and align it. Well, I called my friend who is my geek consultant.
Yeah.
And I went to control panel and printers and faxes, and we couldn't find a HP toolbox. And since then, this thing, the orange light that says low ink, just keeps blinking even though I have a new cartridge in there. And I can't print anything. I get... One time I got an error message that said, new black ink cartridge, take it out and put it back in. Sometimes I get no message.
Yep.
It just doesn't want to print. And I vaguely remember I did this a couple of years ago, and after turning it off for a day, it was happy again, but I can't seem to print.
Okay. Hi, Emily. So the HP Toolbox is a piece of software that comes with most HP home printers. It sits on your desktop and it monitors the amount of ink that you got left, and it gives you warnings if the expiration is coming up. So it's not on your printer, but it's on your computer.
Right. No, but I looked, if I went to control panel and I went to printers and faxes.
Yeah, it's actually not in there. It's a separate program. You might want to look under your start programs menu, or sometimes it's minimized onto the left, lower left-hand corner. If you open up the, if you click on that up arrow, that will bring up all the little icons that are running in the background, all the little pieces of software, and one of them should be that HP toolbox.
See an icon, but if I looked at all the programs,
There's
one that says Hewlett-Packard. Huh.
Yeah, so that's what it would be. If you don't see that in there, then you...
Ah, the toolbox. I just found it.
Hey!
Okay, all right.
Well, all right. Now, another. If it doesn't work, you could just uninstall and reinstall, right?
That's right.
Do I align print cartridges?
Yep, you're going to have to find that in there somewhere. I just found it. You did.
My
okay,
heavens.
Great.
Tony Yang, another satisfied customer. Emily.
Just click on it and say align?
That's it.
Yeah, we can't really talk you through everything, but...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Emily.
All right, I will read this and hope I understand it, and thank you for your help because I could not find that.
No problem.
Thank
Good
you
luck.
Very much. 1-800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Beth in Montgomery. Hi, Beth.
Hello, Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My question, I hope, is not pedestrian. I'm not very good at computers and whatever. We have a laptop in the house, and we are with Time Warner, cable, and every now and then I'm using the laptop, and all of a sudden it says you're not connected to the internet. So I have to play with the router. And my question to my husband is, isn't our house Wi-Fi? Why do I have to redo the router all the time if it does that? Secondly, my question is, when is our, how do you make your house Wi-Fi so you don't have to do this all the time?
Okay. All right. That's a good question. Those aren't pedestrian. That's good.
Beth, the one of the things that that these Wi-Fi manufacturers won't tell you is the interference factor that comes with the with microwave communication. So you can have a perfectly set up Wi-Fi system in your house. It's just a little router that has antennas on it, and it shoots out microwave signals, and you use that for communications between your computers and your router out to the internet. So what could potentially happen, and this happens to a lot of people, is sometimes you can turn on your microwave, or if you have a cordless phone at home that uses, in particular, these spread spectrum technology, a lot of these are these Panasonic and Sharp cordless phones, a third of the time, it will knock your Wi-Fi signal out.
Amazing.
So you could be dealing... So pay attention to that, because that's what you could be dealing with. It sounds to me like you're dealing with a lot of interference problems, and that's not the easiest thing to find. So you just keep an eye on it and see if you notice these things happening when you're using your cordless phone or if you're using your microwave and things like that. Now, your neighbor, if you live close to other people, they could be using their cordless phones, and then you never find out what it is.
Are you on a cable modem supplied by a cable company?
Yes, Time Warner, yes.
Okay, so I had, and I won't say the name, although it might be the same one you just said. So I had a problem. We had the Wi-Fi supplied by this company, and my wife got an Android for Christmas, and one of my kids got an iPod. It was an Android tablet, a family Android tablet. And so my iPhone never dropped, never, ever on the Wi-Fi. Our laptop never dropped, but the Android devices dropped all the time. Yeah. And eventually, and I was on the phone, this company did not like me very much because I was on the phone with customer service literally hours over the space of months. And what happens is they're set to channel jump. I think there are 13 channels.
There are 13 channels.
13 channels. And they'll channel jump. And if you have a neighbor who has one that's running at the same time, or if you have some of this other interference Tony was talking about, you will suddenly lose connection. So eventually I just went and bought a wireless router. And you call the cable company and they'll bridge it for you so that it's basically all you're getting is the internet signal into their box. And then you route it on your own router. No one's had a problem since.
That's very good, Ray. I'm impressed, Ray.
I just want to know something. I have a friend from college, and she and her husband work at RIT, and they were saying to me this summer that the problem is that the company that we buy our cable and internet from doesn't have a strong enough signal. Their strict signal should be stronger. Now, because they deal with this all the time and they know what they're talking about, they've called up their company and their signal is stronger.
Yeah.
Is that a possibility too?
That is possible, and I think that's what Ray was just touching upon. You may want to try buying your own wireless router and see if that improves your situation there.
We bought one on Christmas Eve, and not one device, the Xbox or anything, has dropped since. It has been like night and day, and all my headaches have gone. And frankly, this East Coast customer service operation is just so happy not to hear from me. I'm surprised they didn't buy the modem for me.
Now, so, what's it called, a wireless modem?
A wireless router. You can buy that from Best Buy,
Radio Shack, Walmart, anywhere.
They all have them, yeah.
All right, wireless. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Beth. We appreciate the call. Let's go to Doreen, I believe, in Scotia. You're on.
Oh, hi, Ray and Tony.
Hello.
Hope you can help me out with this. It seems like it's a relatively simple issue, but no one has been able to solve it. Yeah. I download a lot of photos on two portable hard drives. So they're Seagate 1 terabyte. Mm-hmm. And all I wanted to do, because I take notes on what the photos are and the videos, I just wanted to print out the list, not the actual content of the files, just the names of the files, just print it out so I could do my own notes from there. So I wouldn't have to, plug in the portable hard drives to see what's on them or, God forbid, they, you know, destroyed themselves. They don't want to copy like 117 files by hand. Mm. Every time I go to try and print it out the classic way, it seems to want to try to copy the file, or I get an error message. Someone I know said you could use this extrabit.com/copy files, copy file names, and I tried that, and it said there was like 500 gigabytes, and I didn't have enough memory left. It seemed like then it was trying to copy the photos. Is there any way to just copy the names on a list on the portable hard drive?
That's a good question. Actually, I actually don't have an answer for you, Doreen. But
okay.
if you will send me an email at info@GIG Systems, I will get an answer for you on that. We'll find something for you.
Oh, what is that email again, Tony?
It's info@GIGSystems.com.
Systems, plural?
Plural, yes.
Okay, great. Okay.
We'll find something for you.
All right, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, Doreen. We appreciate the call. It is Vox Pop. It is a computer show. Tony Yang is our guest, 1-800-348-2551. All right, let me put my glasses on, Tony. Here's one came from Debbie via email. Hi, Ray and Tony. Every time I have gotten a new computer, we just moved the old hard disk contents to the new one. So my current iMac laptop has at least 3 generations on its hard drive. What's the best way to deal with all this? Go file by file and delete? Just put it all in the cloud or a backup drive, or leave it as is?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that I think many people deal with. I deal with that myself. I got photos, many versions of the same photo,
yep,
on my computer, and they all have different names on it. So what do you do? I do it manually. There are software out there that does what's called deduplication, but it's really professional stuff that causes a lot of money.
Yeah.
There isn't a simple solution to it right now. I don't have any simple solutions. Unless you're ready to spend, you know, really it's in the thousands of dollars.
Really? For software?
To get a software like that that will compare the contents of files and just eliminate the duplicates on it. It's not a simple thing to do.
Must take some serious computing power.
It takes, well, you know, it takes serious money to produce the software, and now that they got it, they're trying to get a return on their investment.
I see. Let's go to Tony in Schenectady.
A bit different. There's a delay. Oh,
hello, Tony. Are you there?
Yes.
You're on.
Yes, from Schenectady.
Yes, that's you.
Yes.
Hello, Tony.
Hi. I've got a problem. It just popped up, and you were talking about XP.
Yes.
And I keep getting something on. I have Norton, but I can't even get into Norton. It says firewall has blocked the program, and it's Windows Internet Guard. I don't have that. Windows Advanced Security Center. Is this something that's going around that's a virus or what?
No, that sounds like the firewall does lots of things, and it could make mistakes sometimes, or it could just be giving you a warning that wants you to make you aware of what's going on in your computer. It sounds like your firewall is just telling you that you're trying to install a piece of software that it thinks.
But he says he doesn't have that software. Isn't that what you said?
Another thing, no, I don't have it. Plus,
Internet
I can't
Guard?
Even get it. I have Norton 360.
But what is this Internet Guard? In other words, is this a software that you say you never installed? You don't have it?
I never installed it. Pops up
sounds
on the
like
screen, and I
to
can't
me.
Get.
I see. Okay.
I can't get rid of it. I mean, when I try to get on the internet or on my.
Okay.
Yeah.
So got it's,
my
the
email,
firewall's
so,
doing the right thing,
right,
by the way.
The firewall's doing the right thing. Your Norton is doing the right thing. So it sounds like you're infected with a piece of spyware on there. So the best thing to do is definitely run your Norton. Have it sweep the system, see what it can find.
You
can't get to your Norton. Then
Malwarebytes.org, maybe?
Malwarebytes. If you can open up a browser and try to download Malwarebytes and get it installed on there and see if you can get that to clean out whatever you got on there. And unfortunately, lots of times when you're in a situation like that, it's too late. So you have to have some professional help when it comes to that to that situation. It sounds
yeah,
like
because I never had this, and I don't open anything that I don't know of, and I've gotten stuff that says that your eBay account is is up, and I know I didn't order anything. I just delete it. You know,
yeah.
I won't open this stuff.
Tony, you got a piece.
And I don't order on the computer, so you know, I don't buy anything on the computer.
Yeah, Tony, you got a piece of spyware on there, and it's not as serious as the subject that Ray and I talked about in the beginning. So you're not having that problem. I think you're having a fairly, you know, I won't say minor, but just a normal spyware problem.
And you can fix it. Malwarebytes.org, it's free, and it saved me on more than one occasion.
Yes, and we use that a lot. I'm not supposed to tell you that.
That's
we
okay.
We use that a lot.
It's free.
As a company, we use it a lot.
Malwarebytes, it's BYTES.org. And you can, you know, if you can download that, it'll probably catch whatever you have.
All right. Can you spell that again, please? I just got a pencil.
Okay.
Pencil.
From memory here, and remember, I'm in radio and can barely spell my name. Malwarebytes.org.
I'm impressed.
R-E-B-Y.
Oh, why are you getting pretty good at this stuff?
B-Y what, sir?
BYTES.org, and that's a free download, and it might save you. But don't sweat it. You don't even buy anything online.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be all right, Tony.
Thanks, Tony.
Okay, thank you.
Bye now. Okay, let's take a break here. We've helped so many people today, and I'm feeling so full of myself, and Tony's doing such a great... Let's just take a break here and drink it all in.
Support for WAMC comes from Stories Nursery, Freehold, New York. Featuring an assortment of Mother's Day flowers and plants, gardening tools and products, Monday through Sunday, 8 to 5, a gardener's destination, storiesnursery.com. Rhinebeck Artist Shops, Rhinebeck and New Paltz, providing professional picture framing, fine art materials for students, professionals, and the public. The Atwater Art Gallery upstairs in Rhinebeck, rhinebeckart.com. Washington County Tourism, featuring outdoor spring recreational activities, including fly fishing, artistic events, venues, and museums, WashingtonNYCounty.com. And Oblong Books, presenting Francine Prose with her book, Lovers at the Chameleon Club, Paris 1932. Saturday, May 10th, 7 p.m. in Rhinebeck, OblongBooks.com.
Yeah, Basie Eddie Orchestra on the old Vox Pop here. Computers today. Tony Yang is our guest. We talk computers. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Florence in Niskayuna. Hiya, Florence.
Hi.
You're on.
I have all Macs with Safari on them. Do I have to worry about Heartbleed?
No, Heartbleed is actually a server-side problem. So Safari is not affected by that. I would still recommend that that you change your user ID and passwords because you don't know if the sites that you've been to are affected. So the safest thing to do, I would think that by this time it's all patched up.
Right.
So now will be a good time to get it changed. So you don't have to worry about that possibility.
Okay.
Very good.
Thanks. Go ahead.
That woman who called in wanting to know about copying the names of their files?
Yes.
Couldn't she just do a screenshot?
You know, I thought about that. The problem is if she's got thousands of files, it's going to be very difficult to do. So we're going to try to find something for her and make it easier.
Yeah, you could just go down page by page.
That's right. You know,
that's,
I think
if that's...
That would be a last
while
resort.
Also.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Florence. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Bye now.
You
know, when Heartbleed was announced, there were spots and pieces of information coming from different sources, including one that was on our own site, which was an NPR story that said, wait a couple days to change your passwords.
Right.
And so why?
Because they haven't patched their software.
So they hadn't at that time.
Right.
So it should be theoretically patched by now, or else we're all in deep trouble.
I will hope so, because we, you know, as a company, we host a lot of different sites for our clients.
And
we went through every one of them just to make sure that we don't have anything that was compromised.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Let's go to Paul. Where are you calling from, Paul?
I'm calling from Esopus, New York.
All right. Nice to have you here.
I got two things first, and then my question. First is, if she wants a list of the files, the easiest way to do it is it's an old DOS trick, go to a command prompt and do the directory command and redirect the output to a temp file and then print the file. It's much easier than trying to do it page by page.
Paul, that's very, very good. For me to try to get into that with her on the radio would be
exactly.
It was going to be
thanks
tough.
For that, Tony. Thanks. That was good. That was very
that
wise. But Paul,
and then
care.
The other guy from Schenectady, he might have to go back to an earlier restore point. I had a similar problem on my mother's computer. Could not find where the thing was popping up from, and going to an earlier restore point did take care of it.
Yeah.
Now, my problem is an old gateway. It's 9 years old. I think the power switch is starting to go. The problem seems to be temperature related. If I turn it on early in the morning when the apartment is a little bit chilly, sometimes I don't get anything. The thing seems to get stuck before it really even enters the BIOS and the self-test and all that.
Yeah.
Other times it'll get as far as checking maybe like 24K of RAM and then stop. But eventually, if I just persevere and keep restarting it or let it warm up for a bit and then restart it, it will boot normally and it will be fine for the rest of the day as long as it stays warm.
Uh-huh.
Once it's off long enough to cool off. So what I'm wondering is, would a change in the power switch, does the power switch sound like the source of the problem, and is it easy to change?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a
power
switch
supply,
problem.
Man.
The power switch basically does open circuit, closed circuit. It works or it doesn't work. So it doesn't
right.
It doesn't affect once the process gets started. So you're kind of, you know, already beyond that point. It could be a power supply, but it really sounds more like a motherboard problem, a board problem,
oh,
because
dear.
that's what we typically would will find out after
okay.
after lots of searching.
A
around.
Friend of mine thought it might be a loose connection, so I went and
tightened
everything, took the memory chips out, and put them back in, and everything.
Yeah,
it seemed to be a little better for a day or two, and then I went back. But I also, when the temperature in the apartment got up to into the like 74,
yeah.
I had like 2 days of it booted perfectly normally without any problem.
Yeah.
That's why I think it's temperature related.
Hmm.
Huh.
I mean that's possible. I haven't seen much of that, I got to tell you.
Okay.
But it's definitely not your power switch. Don't bother changing that.
I defer to Tony, but I had your exact problem, and what it was the power supply. And one day, it never went on again, and I had to replace the power supply.
Yeah. You know,
oh, okay.
That's actually that's probably a good guess there.
Okay.
I will try
that. How much does that kind of thing run?
Power supplies? They're...
Yeah.
$30-$35, you can get that.
Oh, that's not. Oh, okay, I can take care of that.
And you know what? You got to be careful of getting a shock or whatever. But if you're careful, most people can put them in themselves. They're not that bad.
Okay.
You can plug them in the wrong way. So
yeah, be careful.
Just be careful, and
okay.
Before you touch any of the components, touch your case first. Get rid of the static on your
right.
Your body.
And capacitors can hold voltage, so you want to be careful not to get electrocuted. That's always a plus.
They can
hold
it for quite a while. I know that.
Yeah. All right, Paul, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Appreciate the call. All right, Tony, here's another one from email. I got to get my glasses on.
Okay.
I am ancient, man. All right, here we go.
I'm getting there myself, Ray.
Oh, God. Hi, Ray and Tony. I get this error every time I try to log on to my daughter's college website. Connection reset by peer. The other one I get is the proxy server is refusing connections. Firefox is configured to use a proxy server that is refusing connections. Check the proxy settings to make sure that they are correct. Contact your network administrator to make sure the proxy server is working. That's from Brian in Duanesburg.
Huh, okay, that's an interesting problem. Brian, I'm thinking you're using a corporate computer at the office maybe, because that's where you typically see these proxy server errors. A proxy server is it's a computer that sits between your desktop and the internet, and it scans all the content that comes in. To determine if it's dangerous or if it's inappropriate for your network. So what it does is if it detects something that's inappropriate, it will block it and not send it to your desktop. And that's the message that you're getting. If you're doing this from home and you're getting that, then it's probably your ISP. Some of the ISPs actually do use a proxy server. It's rare, but they do. I've seen ISPs using it. And that's what you're dealing with.
So it's possible that his daughter's college website is, for some reason, perhaps in error, blacklisted?
Something like that.
Okay.
So it's not that's not a problem on your computer. It's a network setting issue.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Tony Yang is our guest. Karen in Woodstock. Karen, you're on.
Hi. A few weeks ago, I lost my toolbar on Photoshop. There was a nice toolbar going down the left-hand side of the screen, a lot of color in it and whatnot. And I don't remember why at one point it wasn't there or something, so I tried to play with some settings. And now all I have is a little toolbar that drops down from the upper left-hand corner. Oh, in fact, it's not even coming down now.
Oh,
I was just playing. All of a sudden, I was using this crop tool that was provided, but the problem with this crop tool is that it's only rotating the image. It's not cropping. But what I want back is that toolbar that just comes down the left side, almost to the bottom. And now I just have this little drop-down thing. And actually now when I'm going to that corner, it's just giving me a circle with a bar, with a diagonal through it, and it's not even clicking.
Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of Photoshop on my laptop here, otherwise I'll look it up for you. You haven't lost it. It's in there.
I know it is.
Yeah, it's the you might want to check out the views menu. I think on Photoshop there's a view menu that allows you to pick different toolbars that appears on your desktop. You might want to go through.
Well, you know what? It's when I go to where it says window, there's a place that says tools, but actually right now it's not available. It's in gray.
I wonder, are you in full screen? Maybe you have to minimize it slightly. In other words, if you're in full screen, sometimes some of these toolbars will go away. Maybe you hit the escape key and and go back to away from full screen, and you'll get everything back. It's possible.
The screens, the menus and the screens all look different depending on whether you have a file that's active or you don't have a file open, because you can open up Photoshop without having the active picture in edit. When you actually open up a photograph and start editing it, different menus, additional toolbars will show up. Karen, if I don't know if you heard me asking another listener to send me an email. If you do that, I will give you specific instructions on where those things are.
This is an old Photoshop. This is like Photoshop 7.0,
yeah.
Okay. I think.
All right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
What's your email address, Tony?
info@gigsystems.com.
GIGsystems.com?
That's right.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen.
Karen, thank you very much. Let's go to Pat in Stockbridge. Hiya, Pat.
Hey. I have a quick question back on the Internet Explorer. If you have automatic updates, I should have gotten the patch for Internet Explorer. Is that correct?
You should have it by now, yes.
And do you happen to know what the update version number is on that? When you go out to Internet Explorer and do About Internet Explorer and it comes up with a version number and an update version number, I didn't know if that...
He's looking now.
That's a very, very good question.
He's trying to buy time while he looks.
Yeah, I have not actually... I haven't done that, so I don't know what the patch number it is.
Yeah, so we'll just buy the time. Tony's. So what's your sign, Pat? Just hang in there just a sec.
Your latest version would be, there'll be different versions depending on which version of Internet Explorer you're running, because they release patches for the various different versions of Internet Explorer.
Yeah, because I'm running version 11.
11, and so you're on the latest one, yeah.
So the update version number that I looked at said 11.0.7.
I mean, you could go manually to the update site and it'll tell you, right? Just hit... update.
Your safest thing to do would be just to go into the Windows update in your control panel and let it run the update manually so you can see what it's doing. If it says you don't have anything to update, then you're in good shape.
Okay, because I have on automatic updates and I have gotten a couple patches and a couple of updates in the last couple of days.
Good. That's a very good thing. He's looking.
Okay.
All right, Pat, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
11.07 looks like it's the right
11.07 looks like it's the most recent. All right, very good. Let's go to Greg in Kingston. Greg, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I got a TV over the holidays. My kids helped hook it up, and somehow in the process, it was a smart TV. I lost my my private network. So they rigged up a guest network for me in my own home. I'm about 500 feet from everybody else's house. I wanted to know how safe that was because I had a bunch of weird stuff happen after that.
Okay, so some modems, you can set up a guest network. I know that one that I bought, I think it was a Netgear, had that option, which I disabled instantly.
Yeah.
All right, so that's the question.
So your question is how safe it is to use the guest network on your own wireless router that's in your house.
Right. I'm about 500 feet from other people. And then one of the things is I have programs that when I shut down the computer, the computer tells me that it's waiting for these programs to shut down.
Well,
and I never had that before.
You know, your guest network can be password protected as well. Is your guest network password protected?
No, it's not.
Okay. I will strongly recommend you putting the password on the guest network itself, because that way you have protections on your private and your public network as well. That's the way that you want to typically set it up. The guest network is meant for people to come in and use it. If you have guests over that you may not want to give them your actual password, but you still want to password protect it. Maybe you just use a simpler password. I wouldn't leave it open. That's never a good thing to do.
Okay.
All right, Greg, thank you very much. Over to, who's calling, please? Who is this?
Hello.
Hello, who is this?
This is Tabison from Albany.
Ah, well, you're on.
Okay, good. I just had probably an answer to a caller before who was trying to copy her file names.
Yes.
I was thinking if we could use the snipping tool, she should use the snipping tool. You know, she could capture it as an image and print out the file name.
But there are thousands of files. Yeah.
Yeah. There are many different ways of going at it. I was just trying to get something. What I want to do is I want to get her something very, very simple to use that she can just, you know, install it and print out all the files that she wants.
Yeah. So it's there in Windows 7, and you can also download things like screen capture, which will, you know, just copy the screenshot.
Right.
Good idea.
And that's. So, all right.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks.
Let's go to Noreen in Albany. Noreen, you're on.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Our computer crashed, and we brought it over to Staples, and they had it send it out to Dallas, and they replaced the hard drive. And my husband lost like 10 years of data on Quicken.
Oh, my God.
And we're wondering if there's any way we can get that.
Lorraine, it depends on what they did to it. If they replaced the hard drive in there, it's all gone. If they didn't replace the hard drive and you still have you know, the original drive that they gave you, there may be a way to recover some of the data. But chances are not very good.
Chances are they took it, wiped it, and rebuilt it.
And when you bring it to the factory, they'll just replace that drive and take the old drive out.
Oh, that stinks. Well, oh, that's terrible.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Bye. Thank you for the information.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
So I guess that's a good advertisement for cloud backup, Carbonite or whatever.
Yes.
You know, the problem I have with mine, and I use one of those, is that it resets, and I can't. In other words, for some reason in my operating system, it'll run for a while. It's backed up almost everything. And then it stops. It tries to start, and it never connects. And so what I've had to do numerous times is uninstall and reinstall. But why does that happen?
Software can act in funny ways. When these guys are testing their software, it's tested in a perfect environment where there are no other interference, there are no other software on the system besides just the Windows operating system itself. So when you add other pieces of software, I'm thinking it's mostly an interference issue with other software that's on your computer.
Right.
And it's to find out what that exactly is would take some time and effort.
Yeah, but the offsite it's been very nice. I mean, they always say you should have three forms of backup, right? You should have it on your main computer, you should have a hard drive backup, and you should have a cloud backup, and then you're safe. in theory.
Know, it, I tell you, the backup, I am adamant about backups.
Yeah.
We had a client of ours.
Yeah.
Who we should not name, but it's a radio station.
Oh, ah, I see, I see.
And it starts with a W, ends with a C.
Yes.
You know, we had an incident where we lost some data. We had complications with the data.
Right.
We didn't lose it.
But backup. But
thank goodness we had good backups, and we restore every piece of
and
file.
And that's why we pay you the big bucks. You know, that's Tony Yang. Support comes from Lori Stillwell, CPA, PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. Ye Old Warwick Bookshop, Warwick, New York, a Hudson River Valley bookseller specializing in new and vintage books plus collectibles and curiosities, open 7 days a week, yeoldwarwickbookshop.com. Albany Institute of History and Art, GE presents The Mystery of the Albany Mummies, using ancient artifacts and modern technologies to uncover secrets of the mummies in the museum through June 8th, albanyinstitute.org. At Metroland, an alternative news weekly serving New York's capital region and western Massachusetts. Thanks again to Tony Yang. Beautiful job. Thanks to Zach Malloy at the controls. Thanks to our intern. I forgot his name. Jessica Blaustein Marshall is our producer. It's all right. I forget everybody's name. If you're not an employee for several years, I won't know you. The news is next.